Ready, Mike? Okay. 7 o'clock, welcome to the Bethel Township Board of Trustees, January 23rd, special business meeting. Call to order at 7 o'clock. Roll call, please.
Is that me?
Yes. I think.
Zoning Director Arnold?
Here.
What is that?
Interim.
Interim Fire Chief Priebel?
Priebel.
How you say it?
Priebel.
Priebel.
Yeah, it's hard. I want to put the R first. Priebel.
Priebel. He's not here, right?
Right.
Fiscal Officer Ross here. Trustee Van Haren?
Yep.
Trustee Reese?
Present.
Trustee Dick?
Here. Okay, would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
I talked a little loud, so.
What's that?
I said I tend to talk.
Oh, talk loud. Okay. Next up, so unless you're speaking on annexation, we didn't put you on the agenda tonight.
No, I'm not.
So, you're off the hook.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming, though.
Do you have anything you wanted to add?
There's nothing new to report, so.
Okay, good.
Thanks for coming down.
Absolutely.
Okay, so any public comments of items on the agenda, must be related to annexation. Okay, hearing none.
Do you have the list?
Yeah, there's a list of three people here. Is that now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Jeff, you want to go first?
It's not green, but I'll try talking anyway.
Can you push it on for green?
Center button?
Yeah. Thank you.
Jeff Morford, 6570 East Walnut, Tip City, Ohio, 45371, Bethel Township, Miami County. Over the years, I've heard many numerous times, I love living in Bethel. Bethel schools are great. I've lived in Bethel all my life. My family has lived in the community since 1917 or longer. I want my children and grandchildren to enjoy what Bethel has to offer. I have also heard many times, we in Bethel need to change our attitude when it comes to zoning, building, expansion, or we will lose control and our ability to govern. Someone else will be running our community. We need to change that or we will get pushed out of the way. Referring always to the developing of Bethel Township land by developers using Huber Heights and New Carlisle zoning and current annexation laws. I have a problem with that mindset. We have to conform, we have to change, we have to do something or else we will lose our community. Over the years, we have tried that path. We are still losing our community and especially our schools. Is Bethel School the same school it was 10 years ago? No, it has doubled in size and our small rural school has become an institution with all the urban school problems. If we radically change our zoning, allowing what Huber Heights offers in the way of zoning and development, we are not maintaining or preserving the rural lifestyle that I hear everyone wants to share with their family. We will be nothing but Huber Heights North under the name of Bethel Township. Don't be forced into changing something just because you are afraid or fear the outcome if you don't change. Remove the fear, work on changing the annexation process. Change our position from defense to offense. If indeed the community wants to urbanize, so be it. But don't do it because you are bullied or pushed into thinking we have to change or change will be forced upon us. We as citizens have the right to be protected. We have the right to enjoy what is our chosen lifestyle and should not be bullied or fear that we will be forced to change our ways of life just because someone else has a different opinion on how we should live. Instead, stand up for your community and lifestyle you enjoy here. Work on changing the annexation process. That is the only thing that will allow our community to survive and to truly be able to direct the path and goals of our community. In reality, if the annexation laws were not set up in favor of big developers, allowing their agenda to take precedent ahead of your personal and our personal chosen way of life, this meeting would not be necessary. We would be going on with our daily lives, and our community and community leaders would be focusing on simpler local community issues. An example, $1 million of township money spent on the property adjacent to the Metro Park, which I agree with, and the logic of using that property as a buffer to stop annexation in that direction. Would it not have been more advantageous to spend that money on what might be more appropriate spending, like fire equipment, Friendship Park improvements, etc., etc.? But no, we are forced to be on the defense and fight to the best of our ability against annexation. If you prefer an urban lifestyle and want the community to go that direction, so be it. Or if you prefer the urban lifestyle, move your family to Huber, Dayton, Columbus. Or if you enjoy the relative peace and quiet of Bethel, then fight for it. It is obviously the problem is the way the annexation process works. It is heavily favoring the big developers of cities like Huber Heights who want to expand. I'm not asking for the abolishment of annexation. There are many annexations over the years where both communities are supporting and promoting annexation. Both communities see and share mutual benefits. An annexation request is made to the neighboring big city. That city has a right to say no, but our community, where the land is located, has no means to say no. Here in Bethel, the community is against the annexation. The three Bethel Township trustees are against the annexation. The three Miami County commissioners are against the annexation. There are things we all complain about that we have no control over and could do nothing about, like the weather, traffic, TSA, etc., etc. But there is something that can be done about annexation process. The legislature put the present laws into effect, I hope with good intentions. If the legislatures pass the current annexation laws and procedures, they can change the process, modify it. As of now, I believe the annexation laws are being abused. What needs to be done is when the annexation request is filed, it needs to be put on the ballot in both communities, needing the approval from both communities to proceed. No annexation without representation. I repeat, what needs to be done is when annexation request is filed, it needs to be put on the ballot in both communities, needing the approval from both communities to proceed. No annexation without representation. I've come to realize we all, and I repeat we all, and I'm guilty probably more than most, we complain about so many things that are presented to us daily. But if you are not willing to do something about it, then you do not legitimately have the right to complain or expect a change. Things do not change on their own. It takes effort, time, and money. The developers invest hundreds of hours and millions of dollars to push their quest to do business. We, on the other hand, complain. In general, we bring a knife to a gunfight. Who do you think is going to come out the winner in the end? All of us need to contact everyone we can. Contact all Ohio representatives. Contact all Ohio senators. Contact all high-ranking Ohio officials, governors, lieutenant governors, all his cabinet. Contact Ohio's U.S. senators and representatives. Again, contact everyone and anyone. Have all your friends and neighbors do the same. Explain our problem and solution. That is the only way change will happen. If Huber City Council votes yes, there is a chance the Huber residents will circulate a referendum petition. Be ready to support them. We are allowed to circulate and collect signatures. We cannot sign. It's a big job, and they will need all the help and support they can get. If we don't, we are doomed. The annexation will keep happening, and every 10 years, another 500 acres will be developed. And we will be in the same hot water wondering what we can do about it. But it won't be us. It will be our children and our grandchildren dealing with it. Our children and grandchildren will be having this conversation. Why didn't mom and dad Why didn't our neighbors? Why didn't our community? Why didn't our trustees? Why didn't our Miami County commissioners? Why didn't our representatives do something to protect us? It's easy to turn your back and say, I can't do anything about it. Can't fight big business. Can't fight City Hall. If that's your attitude, then stop complaining. Embrace the development. Tell everyone I'm a Huber Heights resident. Thank you. But I got one final piece of information. I've been in contact with a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Newman, who is running for our district representative, taking Jenna Powell's place. We talked briefly about annexation. I'm not sure where he stands on the issue, but at least he's talking to me. A real improvement. I contacted Jenna Powell's office at least 15 times and yet have had a smile, let's say. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. We have more, Mike?
Yeah, Mrs. Hughes.
Okay, I just want to say your comments last night at Huber Heights were spot on. Very good. Nicely done.
Thank you. My name is Donna Hughes, 9360 South Van Road, Chip City, Ohio, 45371, Bethel Township. I like what you two said. Thank you very much for standing up and saying exactly no. I like how you was trying to stop the annexation. I'd like to know about the 2003 law that we said, I think you said it was passed, where it gave the municipalities the right to annex over the townships. And if that is the case, that is legal plunder. And taking from the poor to give to the rich, taking from the township to give to the municipalities. What can I do to help you stop this annexation? What steps can I take to be an advocate along with you? And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Donahue?
Hi, Natalie Donahue, 7835 Acton Broad Road. I want to say thank you to Jeff and Donna and Tanya Wells, who's not here tonight, and Julie and Beth, and all the Bethel Township folks that spoke last night in the Huber City Council meeting against annexation. I didn't have anything prepared last night, and I didn't prepare anything tonight, mainly because I felt like I've said it all over the past two years, when we think to February of 2022, kind of when we started all this again real heavily. But the undue burden on the schools, the traffic, the infrastructure, you've heard it all. The fact that we'll lose nearly 300 acres of farmland that it's currently producing food and crops that we might locally have the benefit of, if not other, not being the benefit to other folks. But the annexation, I see nothing in it for Bethel. Just like the original annexation, you know, we didn't benefit at all. And I understand that a few homeowners can decide that their property is something that they want top dollar for. That's all fine and dandy. But just to put it that by them doing that at the expense of everyone else in the community, that's just not right. And I agree with Jeff. It's definitely needs to be an opportunity for everybody to voice their opinion. You know, we packed this room in May when and we had a long meeting for several hours when we were really close to, or we thought Huber was really close to perhaps voting on it in the summertime. And we packed this room of very passionate people who love this community. They may not all be here tonight, but believe us, believe me to say that there are multiple people behind me that for each one of us that are here, I'd be willing to bet there's probably 50 people that are against annexation. I also know that even doing a referendum to have zoning changed to 3-acre lots, so many people are opposed to that in the community to begin with. If I was able to collect 200 signatures of people who didn't even want to go to that level of residential lots sizes, I collected those 200 signatures easily in 48 hours. And those are people who were against it, not just people who would sign for me. Those people were against it. So again, this room may not be packed tonight, but you all know that there's a lot of people who are passionate against annexation. Again, I will just say I encourage you to continue the good fight. Bigger is not always better, and I hope that Huber recognizes that sooner than later and can be a good neighbor. But what I would ask of you is to continue to fight and be brave, courageous. I know you all can do it. You're all smart. You can figure out how to help us win this battle. I'm tired of coming up here. I'm tired of thinking about it. I'm tired of thinking that for the next, you know, we've already been through this road for the past 20 years. We've got 20 more ahead of us with this. And then to think that our kids are going to have to be stuck with this, it's just not fair to them. And we have to do our best. So I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks.
Next up is discussion items, which is annexation. So I just wanted to start by saying thank you to everyone who goes and speaks at the Huber meetings and contacts me and talks to me about this issue. It's a tough one and very sore spot for us, of course. I went to the county commissioners meeting Thursday when they accepted the petition. No voting or anything. They just have to go through the formal process of saying, yes, we did receive your petition, Huber Heights, or landowners, I guess. One thing that was mentioned there was they talked about working in conjunction to maybe hire an attorney to review the document itself. So that could be one thing that we look at doing.
Review the actual petition?
Yeah. I mean, we all believe that it's going to be perfect this time because they screwed it up the one time, right? There was a mistake in the, I think, the map.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Andy Smith yet. He's the guy in charge of the map department. But I'm sure by now we would have heard something if it didn't meet their requirements. I mean, he's very, very, very thorough. Not to say that an outside attorney can't look at it. If they're willing to hire that person, that would be great. But I can call Andy tomorrow and ask him how it looks.
Why don't you pass that number to me since...
Sure.
I'm the liaison for that area.
Sure. Andy Smith, Map Department. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but you can...
Just email if you wouldn't mind.
So I guess the question is, do we, township, want to hire an attorney to have them look over the wording?
Well, I've already been on the phone to 3 different ones that are supposed to be good in this area, and waiting on a call back from the one that you used the last time for the last couple of days, which hasn't returned my phone call or returned the message to call me. And I think that we need to be proactive instead of reactive. For the last 15 years, that's what we've done, has been reactive, and they expect us to be reactive after they serve us. We have to take the same initiative that we took on the New Carlisle side when we stopped that, and Jeff was a part of that, in that group, and we maybe need to form another group to fight this side of it as well.
I just want to clarify something on the New Carlisle annexation. New Carlisle never voted on the actual annexation petition. They voted to turn down the development. but they did not vote on the actual annexation.
It didn't get that far.
It didn't get that far, but I think it's important to realize that they didn't vote on the annexation petition because if they had voted, the same way as if Huber Heights had voted last year, they would have to wait an entire year before they could do it again. Now, whether or not that's even going to be a case in New Carroll, let's hope not, but it is definitely the case with Huber Heights. So I just want to clarify that they didn't vote on the actual annexation. They voted on rejecting the development.
My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that we were proactive. The community was proactive. We got together. We formed a committee. We sat in front of their offices. We made a stink, and it stopped it, okay? We've been doing the same thing with Huber Heights all these years, and we haven't stopped anything. We've not stopped anything. In May, as Natalie said, we had a large meeting here in this very room about the same, now there's, I think, 30 acres more that we're looking at. And there were probably 40 people here, I think, if I remember correctly. A lot of them spoke. I was one of them. And we all didn't understand the logic behind not trying to fight, just kind of rolling over and accepting what we got. Well, now I'm here and I'm saying, let's try to fight. We've passed the 3.8 levy for the last 15 years to do just that with that, supposedly with those tax dollars. I've not seen $1 spent since I've been living in this community 40 some years on trying to hire an attorney that represents us exclusively to do that. I'm saying put our money where our mouth's at. The tax dollars have been given to us to do that. Let's try it. What do we have to lose? We're going to lose anyway, according to everything I'm hearing. Why not try to fight? And that's where I'm at. That's my position in this. May not be agreeable to everybody else, but that's my position. I don't understand how we can take free advice from the county prosecutor's office, who represents the county, and then represents us. If you did that in the private sector, and that's where I'm operating out of, is the private sector, that attorney would have to say, sorry, I can't take your business because I already represent this guy. Well, how can they take our business and look out for our best interest or even give us the best advice possible when they represent the county? And the county stands to make a lot of money off of that development. Whereas we, unless we negotiate through the TIF, some pittance, get nothing. So that's where I'm coming from. And when I got elected, I said I wouldn't BS anybody around here. I'm straight to the point. I've always been straight to the point. I've never understood this. In May, I heard Beth at the very end of this meeting that we had before they signed the moratorium agreement state that there was a problem with the water line, that we spent over $1 million running down 40, not being large enough. I just saw that same indication in an email that she put out on her own website or the Concerned Citizens site about that issue. And she also did it with Tanya Wells, sent her some personal correspondence there as well, which I was privy to as well. If there's a problem with what we spent all that money for, and we taxed there are people along that 40 line that were taxed as well. If there's a problem with that service line not being big enough, and the whole purpose of that, when I attended the county meetings with the trustees, was to enable us, Bethel Township, to develop itself. At some point, they knew that was going to have to be developed. And we were supposed to be able to do that with the existing line that was run down 40. Well, we can't do that now. There has to be a new line run simultaneously. We can tap in for a limited amount of homes, but we have to run a new line. Somebody has to pay for that. Who's going to pay for it? That was mentioned at last night's meeting as well. Who's going to pay for that? I don't want us to pay for it. So why shouldn't we explore our legal rights to not have to do that? And granted, I've only been in office 21 days, so I'm not privy to all that has been done over the last 15, 16 years, but it's common sense that the buck has to stop somewhere. I just hope it doesn't stop with us. I hope we're not the ones footing the bill for it. And that's where I'm coming from.
So you would like to hire an attorney to do more than
I'd like to review the petition. Yes, I'd like to know exactly what our rights are. I'd like to know if we can mount a challenge to them and the county, to Heber Heights and the county. I'd also like to know if we can say we're not footing the bill for this line that's going to be run. Because
First of all, we do not own those lines. Those are part of Miami County. We are not footing the bill for additional water lines. Just let me finish. Okay?
I'm letting you finish because I distinctly remember $1.12 million that the taxpayers paid.
There's not a problem with the water lines in the sense that if we would have developed a long 40 in a typical Bethel Township fashion, maybe like a Schroyer and Dinsmore, there would be plenty of water capacity and sewer capacity. We're using currently a little over 50% of our sewer capacity and our water capacity. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I think the tower is about 40% capacity. The problem is with 1,300 homes coming in, not an additional 400. That's where they need the additional line sizes. It's not the capacity of the actual water tower, it's not the capacity of the treatment plant, it's the actual size of the line that was sized, designed, and built to accommodate probably an additional 300 to 400. That's about where we are. And this is substantially greater than that. So yes, that would need to be upsized, but it's not a problem with the line now. Nobody knew in 2009, well actually the water line was put in 2000, I think, 2001 from an EPA grant because of the school. Nobody anticipated all of Carriage Trails, but also all of Carriage Trails too. And to upsize that, it does cost money.
Who pays for it?
Well, in the case for upsizing that, all those costs will be passed on to the developer.
Well, then why didn't the developer the first go around have to pay for all of that? Because they didn't. I know I can.
What developer?
I know. When the Carriage Trail 1 was done and we ran that, we had already ran the line up 40.
We don't service Carriage Trails at all.
There's a line that was ran at 40 and it ran to Schroyer. Those property owners not only got assessed for the next 10 years for that line,
20 years,
some of them $16,000 or better. And then didn't we kick in money as well?
You said the developer, so that's what I thought you meant, with the developer of Carriage Trails.
We kicked in money. I think it was the tune of around $1 million, correct?
I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I can tell you for the sewer and the water on the southern end of the township, the 3.8 mil levy paid for it. So all the taxpayers who pay into the 3.8 mil levy. We got significant Ohio EPA, OPWC, which is Ohio Public Works Commission, grants, and 10% loan that we paid back quickly. And then homeowners were assessed in Brant for sewer is about $7,000, and in Fulton for water it was about 8,000. Businesses got a higher assessment. That would be Wiley Industrial Park. And then Brant Water essentially got that for free, And then Fulton got their sewer for free. It was kind of offset, not quite free, but fairly low cost. But I don't have those exact figures in front of me.
So the line that was run up 40 that was supposed to service that so we could develop ourselves and stop annexation,
mm-hmm.
which we paid for,
mm-hmm.
now services that, and it's not big enough to service that area that's going to be annexed. So there's going to be another line run up 40. Who's going to pay for that?
The developer will pay for that. Huber Heights will pay for that. We will not pay for that.
And it will be passed on to the people that buy those houses.
Yes, that
and those people.
Those people what?
This is a type 2, correct?
This is an expedited type 2.
Right, okay. So that means that not only do they pay tax to Huber, but they'll also pay tax to some portion of tax to us as well, correct?
Unless there is an agreement with the city of Huber Heights.
Mm-hmm.
That the city agrees on and the township agrees on, those residents in that 295 acres will all be essentially dual citizens. They will pay Huber Heights taxes, they will pay Bethel Local Schools taxes, they will not pay our fire, they will pay Bethel Township taxes, but not our fire levy. I don't think our police levy, because that's in the unincorporated part, but they will pay our 3.8 mil levy, which is our general fund levy. They will also vote on township elections and in Huber Heights elections. If there's an agreement between, you are the city of Huber Heights, right? If there's agreement between the city of Huber Heights City Council and the township to formally detach that 296 acres, then they're just residents of Huber and they attend Bethel Local Schools and they won't pay the taxes and they won't. But right now we don't have an agreement in place with Huber Heights, and that can happen any time during the annexation proceedings and, I'm sorry, I thought this was your question, and afterwards. Sorry, I thought that was your question.
Fine. My point here is we need to look at our options. We need to look at all of our options, and we can't rely on the county to give us our options. We need to look at our options. We need to have somebody that has experience with this kind of thing doing the fight for us. We can no longer rely on the county to look out for our best interest. We can't. We have to do it ourselves.
So
we've got the money. We've taxed ourselves to have the money. We've got the money. So we need to spend that money the way the taxpayers said back 15 years ago they wanted us to, and try to give them what they taxed themselves for.
So
that's my
Miami
that's my opinion.
County took some to significant Miami County commissioners took a significant political heat, risk, whatever you will. They denied the first round of the annexation petition in September of 21. The developer reconfigured it, came back with slightly more acres, resubmitted it in February, and they denied it again. An expedited type 2, if it meets 7 conditions, I know you've all heard this from me, but I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. If it meets these 7 conditions, the county commissioners are compelled to pass it. The last time, Jeff, I think you were at their meeting when they got the word from the judge, the homeowners actually took them to court. The judge compelled them to say, you will pass it. So they resubmitted it, and now there's a new petition out. It's at more acreage, and I don't think that they will be willing, not that they don't want to, that they don't want, they do not want this annexation. They are definitely on our same side. They are working with us as much as they can. But their hands are tied by the legislature. And I would suggest, really, instead of a lawyer to get us out of this one, I think we probably should all hire a lobbyist, because the laws are not fair. They are totally skewed in the direction of municipalities. And every state legislator that we have has municipalities within their jurisdiction. So it would be an uphill battle to fight this, but you had some really good points. All of you have really good points. We have to, you know, start at the state makes these laws. It's not us, it's not the county, and that's where it needs to be addressed. This whole plant, the Intel chip plant that's going on in central Ohio. Ohio wants development, they want to grow. If you look at it on from a state level, the state wants to increase their population, to increase their tax base, to get more representatives into Congress. And this type of, all those townships on the, I think it's the east side of Columbus, are gonna go through some drastic changes because of this Intel plant and because of all the development. But that was all expedited type two. Boom, 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 super fast. And the state likes that. They like being able to say, look how fast we got this Intel plant in here. So it doesn't bode well for townships. I'm not saying give up, I'm saying probably need to hire some lobbyists. If you guys wanna hire a lawyer, that's fine. Expedited type two is the slam dunk of annexations. All the property owners agree, their seven conditions are met. The township trustees don't vote on it. My understanding from the commissioners was they were going to look at a way to, going forward, stop this in the future. And one of the ways that we can do that as a township is we can do some development along now, sadly, the north side of 40. And I know that we do not want to overburden our schools with additional children. Maybe it's retiree housing. Maybe it's, I don't know what else, businesses. Maybe it's a solar farm, which probably nobody really wants to look at. But solar farms don't add children to the school district. And I will say, I've been a trustee for 18 years, and I have pushed infrastructure at the southern end of the township as a way to block annexation. What we sadly haven't done enough is to use that four-letter word development in our conversations, because we don't want it. All of you have stood up and said, we don't want essentially more development. And we don't, but if we don't do it, Huber Heights will do it for us, and they are doing it. So again, I'm on my soapbox. If you guys wanna hire an attorney to fight this, to look at the thing, that's fine. I personally think it's a waste of money. I think we would be better off spent on a lobbyist. But, and I do not like lobbyists in any shape, manner, or form. But we have all called our legislators over the years. We've worked through OTA. There's a lot of reasons why they don't want, a lot of reasons at the state level why changing this is an uphill battle. And, you know, maybe we need every single township to make this case. But what we have to do in the next 25 days is file a letter of opposition to the commissioners. And I thought that was our resolution tonight, or was that what we were going to discuss tonight, was what we were going to say in that letter. If you look at the Ohio Revised Code, it just says you have to oppose it. Doesn't say you have to give a reason. We've got plenty of reasons why we don't like it. So
I just have a couple other things maybe to discuss. Along the lines of the lobbyists, Jeff had suggested in the past of hiring a person to fight annexation that we were hoping the county would hire them, but I don't think they're interested, as they say it mostly affects us, of hiring a person to be our anti-annexation person that would do that full time, basically. So that could be an option. I don't know what kind of expertise we could get in that. I'm kind of with the attorney thing. So one thing that was brought up excuse me, as one of the ways to fight annexation is to possibly look at merging with another city. So it would have to be one that touches us. We all know we have four choices there. We have Huber Heights, Vandalia, Tip City, and New Carlisle. Mm-hmm. And one
pick
of the...
Pick your poison.
Yeah. Well, but...
but it's good.
But
it's,
even during discussion, even while you're in negotiations, it stops annexation. So I think an attorney would be good to have to advise that. The attorney that I learned that from a course at the OTA, is available to help us. His name is, well, his firm is John Albers. That's his name.
Mm-hmm. I think he's on my list.
So, yeah, and then if you have a couple others, we can either interview or we can just choose one. And then...
you do realize that merger means you join another town.
Understand.
I don't really want to do that. I feel like I'd rather slowly lose our township. We haven't had any annexation. Our last one was in 2003. That's 20 solid years. You can argue why that was, but regardless, it's been 20 years, which is phenomenal for us. A merger, even if it's a discussion, is still merging. We lose our township. If you look at the rules and regulations that go along with that, which are governed by the Ohio Revised Code, Bethel Township disappears. And I would not like that to happen, that we agree on it. I'd rather keep fighting uphill battle that it may be. But, you know, if we can get a groundswell of 50 or 100 people to go to the Huber Heights meeting, maybe they will have a change of heart. I know that there's a lot of folks in Carriage Trails 1 who don't want to see Carriage Trails 2 go in. I am opposed to a merger, strongly opposed to a merger.
I think if I read up on the merger correctly, it stops things for a year if you are entertaining or talking with another municipality, like let's say it was Tip, I don't know, New Carlisle, they're the closest, Vandalia is a little further. It freezes things for a year while you're trying to work out the parameters of that end of the deal. If you don't come together on the parameters, then you don't have a deal. So but you've stopped what's inevitable for at least a year while you're working on the problem of the 300 acres there. That's a strategy of that particular move.
It's also a fairly complicated strategy. There's a lot of steps to it. It's not like you just go to New Carlisle and say, hey, let's talk about a merger and sign a piece of paper, so that it's not that simple.
I'm not saying it is simple. What I'm saying is that it's an option. And right now we need to consider all of our options at this point, because we're losing what we have here. And if you think it's going to stop at 290 acres for another 20 years, you're mistaken. It's going to keep right on moving, and it's going to move twice as fast. Yeah. When I was on the school board, this was put before us when Carriage Hill 1 was done. And I told them then, all they have to do is go to Dublin, Ohio, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. This is where these boys started, the debt company. This mm-hmm. is where they started.
Yep.
If you go to Dublin, Ohio now, it's nothing like it was when they started, like Bethel Township was when we started. That's what they do. They move into small bedroom communities, and they come in and they just develop. And they develop so rapidly that you can't keep up. You Your schools are outgrown, your fire service is outgrown, everything is just monumental. It's just what they do. This is where I'm from. I saw it. My community that I went to school in no longer exists. And it only took 22 years. Mm-hmm. 22 years. So they're not going to stop. This is not a 290 some acre deal where it's going to end. It's not going to end.
I don't think I ever said they were going to stop. But I'd like us as a township to consider doing some development where we have infrastructure on the north side of 40 now. There's lots of open farm fields there. There's also, most of those are in an LLC. If you look at the people who sold this past time who are in this existing petition agreement, I think everybody but one does not live in this community.
That's true.
And so I would like us as a community to maybe have more discussion around creating a development block, a block of along 40 that is maybe more housing, maybe senior housing, maybe more Schroyer, Dinsmore, Newberry, Wyndham, so half an acre. But because we do have the infrastructure there, so it costs more to run it along a street or something, but it's there.
But you don't have, the driving factor here is dollars. There's not the money to be made in senior housing that there is to be made in single family, 400,000 plus. It's not there. So when you're spending $3-4 million, $5 million on ground, it's called the 1 in 5. The 1 in 5 means that lot that you're going to sell can't be any less than 1/5 of the total cost of the house. You can't do that on 40 when you're setting a precedent for selling property in the millions of dollars, when you're going to be speculating on property being sold to a retiree that's far less than a $400,000 or $500,000 home. Just isn't going to happen. You're not going to get that development. It's dollars and cents. So I don't think that, from my standpoint, I don't think that's a feasible way to look at trying to get development there. You're going to have to develop, but you will have to develop single family. And then you're still talking high density single family because of the cost of the ground. Farm ground in that area isn't being sold for farm ground. You take the man's property. I mean, they sold theirs a little bit less than what it should have been sold because it was on the market for so long. It was 80 some acres and a little over $1 million or so. You guys just contributed before I got here to the Siler farm. You paid almost a little over $840,000 as a donation to Carriage Hill to buy that farm. But they paid how many millions of dollars for it?
The assessment on that property was, I think, 17, 8 an acre.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you're.
And it was done at housing.
Yeah.
That was the housing.
Yeah.
So, a potential. Yeah.
So,
potential.
So, there's the answer there. I mean, you've got the higher dollar home. You can't.
So if I may, mm-hmm. So I have a lot of concerns. I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about the merger, but first, developing down 40. So we've been hearing that for years and years and years that this is the way to stop it. And I agree that is the way to stop it. I would prefer to see businesses or maybe even solar farms, something that does not produce the kids, because after this next annexation, you know, 4, the school is going to be huge. But now the problem is we not only have to think about up and down 40, but we've got Huber coming on the west side of the township. We have potential Tip City up here. Mm-hmm. We had New Carlisle already take a swipe at us and may come back again. So we have the New Carlisle side. And then we have Huber that's going east over to 235, so more potential for annexation along the southern border that's not just talking about 40. So That's a lot of land to cover. We need a moat around the township, right? Or something that would, you know, a barrier all the way around, except for the north side. So I just want to speak a minute on the merger too, because I'm not for merging. I mean, I don't want to see us merge and lose Bethel Township. Obviously, nobody wants to see that.
Right.
But, you know, we don't know what kind of a deal we can make. Maybe there's a, you know, I just trying to think outside of the box a little bit. Maybe we can make some kind of deal where we merge and they kind of stay hands off of Bethel Township for 100 years. You know, and I know we wouldn't be a township then, but or we wouldn't be a formal township then, but you know, the New Carlisle would like to have money too. You know, that's mm-hmm. why everybody wants to annex, right? Because mm-hmm. it's easy for them. We get the burden, they
right.
get the tax money.
Right.
New Carlisle has a city tax, income tax. So, you know, who's to say we couldn't cut some kind of deal that we pay their income tax and they leave us alone? You know, I don't know. I we haven't tried anything in that arena. And, you know, to me, that's like protection money, right?
Absolutely.
We pay a fee and, you know, they leave us alone. So, I just feel that we shouldn't be taking anything off the table at this point. And if like I said, that one attorney who I've talked to, you know, he knows about doing this kind of thing. So maybe we get some advice from somebody like that to see what is possible. And I know it's not easy, Beth. I mean, we know nothing's easy, but I just hate to rule anything out because I'm, you know, as everybody knows, they're going to keep coming. They're going to keep marching north and west
yeah.
and east.
Yeah.
So we need a way to,
they
we need a way
a
to,
choice.
Some other choices. The development to stop it is not getting done.
Water and sewer didn't get it done.
So, I don't know. So,
I would be willing to look at that for sure.
Look at what? The lawyer or the merger?
All of it. The lawyer with the experience to give us some expertise on what it's going to involve, and then perhaps some phone calls.
Wait, the lawyer to look at what's going to be involved, the merger?
If we decided that, first of all, we want to fight, and secondly, if the only option is to merge, then what are the ramifications of it? And how would we do it so that it best benefits Bethel Township?
Mm-hmm.
I would be willing to look at that.
So you said you had a couple other attorneys. Did
yeah.
you? So I don't know.
I'll send
them,
you. And I'll send you the email on him.
So should we have interviews or?
I think probably so. Unless you want to go with the one that his name was on the list as well. That I have. There were four altogether. So that was given to me by my personal attorney as being the better ones in locally. Now there was one in Columbus as well, but that's. That involves travel time and so forth.
Well, Albers is from Columbus.
Yeah, I think that may be the one. And so
yeah,
but if he can, if he'll, you know, work some sort. Really, the cost is not
we'll
the issue.
We'll say that if we're looking for people who are involved with the lawmakers who are changing the rules, it's probably not a bad idea to have a lawyer from Columbus.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing, I mean, this is way out there, but something that I always think about is there anything that we can do to look at the whole annexation ORC as being an unjust law? Because it's...
We'd have to challenge it.
Yeah.
And that would be the other option, you know?
I just would be interested in hearing some advice on that, because it just mm-hmm. seems ludicrous to me that we have no say in anything, and... It's just pretty un-American.
I don't. I never asked the question if there was any case law of challenges being made to an annexation by any local. That would be probably something for the Township Association. They might have some information on that they could share. If there's any recent case law, like within the last 10 years, that would
shed some sort of a light on whether or not, you know, any other smaller townships in Ohio have been successful, you know, as far as making a challenge.
Making a challenge in what regard?
Challenging the law itself against, let's say, Heber Heights for us, you know, coming after us. Maybe
against
something,
the municipality.
Yes, yes. I didn't ask that question, and I probably should have, but I think that would be a good one, because if there is case law, maybe there's something that's still pending that hasn't been settled yet as well. And if we can kind of feel our way through that, we can maybe make a decision on whether or not, you know, it's going to be really worth the fight. And maybe
I don't know, there might be some case law that's out there, some cases that are pending now. If you look up annexation case law in the state of Ohio, and I'm not a lawyer and I don't have access to all their stuff, what comes out is Bethel Township filing against Heber Heights in 1998 and 1999, and it was truly David and Goliath, and we lost.
Mm-hmm.
But the trustees did take it to case, so that there is that case law. And then, but subsequently, since those cases in 98 and 98, this is new annexation law. This is a new mm-hmm. annexation. So I don't know how that works legally, if those cases even pertain anymore because of the new laws.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be worth diving into to see what's out there.
So for the Albers attorneys at law, he sent me an engagement of legal services document.
Mm-hmm.
Their rates are $300 an hour. Paralegal is $150 an hour. they do not bill for some of the charges that other firms do, like mm-hmm. any kind of copying charges, mileage,
mm-hmm.
automation support. So you mentioned about Columbus.
Yes.
So that's why I wanted to
yes.
read this to you.
Mm-hmm.
So computer research services, not billed, but they do bill for out-of-pocket payments. So if they have to, you know, overnight ship
mm-hmm.
something, filing fees, court reporter services, court costs, subpoena costs, those kinds of things. There's a whole list of them. So money that they would have to put out on our behalf,
mm-hmm.
we would have to reimburse.
Mm-hmm.
But for the mileage and copying and stuff like that, ship, you know, postage, they do not bill for that. And they bill in quarter hours.
Mm.
So you don't necessarily get billed for the whole hour if
mm-hmm.
it doesn't take the whole hour. So, yeah, I guess that's. And then,
go ahead. Have you personally talked to him? Did you schedule a meeting? Or
well, we interviewed him last year. Sorry, what year was that, though? 2022.
Mm-hmm. 22.
Is this the one who did the moratorium agreement? You drafted that?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the one that we did not choose.
Oh, okay.
So
there were a couple things in the moratorium agreement that struck me as being very odd, but
yes, it's not him.
Okay.
And he, like I said, he is the one that talked to me or talked about the merging as one of the 8 options.
Well, I think he's on my list.
So,
I think and I wouldn't have an objection to him, because only I think that having somebody in Columbus is probably better as well.
Were the other two that you had, they were local?
They were local, yes. One was in Centerville, and the other one was in Dayton. So there's 4 altogether. There was only one in Columbus, and I think this is him.
Well, I did bring a resolution in case we did this based on the 2022 one. I brought that one as well. If we want to do this tonight, we can do it. We can also fill in other names if I don't know the other one, so I would probably prefer to interview if that were the case.
Okay. Beth, do you want to interview?
I definitely don't want to hire a lawyer when we haven't talked to that person.
Well, you have talked to this person.
But Kama has 2 or 3 people that she's talking to.
Are
right?
they annexation attorneys?
Yes, yes,
okay.
They are. But, you know, I haven't, let's put it this way, they were referred to me by my attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have those names? off the top of your head?
No, I don't have the list with me. I actually have them at home on my notebook next to the phone. And I was going to talk about that tonight because I knew we were going to discuss possibly hiring an attorney. At least that was on my agenda to do. You've met this guy before, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the reason that you didn't choose him the last time?
We preferred Peter Griggs.
And why did
better.
You?
Not this we, by the way.
Okay. Oh, you didn't.
I did not prefer. I met him, but I did not prefer Peter Griggs.
Oh.
Because Peter Griggs has extensive experience in writing agreements with, for the benefit of the townships in annexation petitions. Again, if we don't get an agreement in an expedited type 2, they cannot detach that 296 acres. So they become dual citizens. And the prior trustees felt strongly that they wanted that area detached. Thus, we needed an agreement. And he has a lot of experience doing that. A lot of experience. I'm not saying that Albers doesn't, but Peter Griggs does. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the same attorney for something completely different than we looked at last time. But going forward, as I said before, this is an expedited type 2. If we decide as a group of trustees that we want to have this 296 acres detached, we have to have a legal agreement with the city of Huber Heights. And I would really like to have a lawyer write that up rather than us.
So let me ask you this then. Your reasoning for going with the other guy was because he wrote the moratorium for you,
it was an annexation agreement.
Okay, well, the annexation agreement
that included the moratorium.
Right, okay.
Yes.
All right, so.
But there were other things in there, so that's why it's not a moratorium. It was an annexation agreement.
But this gentleman that you didn't hire wasn't qualified to do that?
I didn't say that at all. I said that Peter Griggs has a lot of experience doing those annexation agreements.
But this guy didn't have that same experience. You don't know.
I don't remember that he had as, in my recollection, he didn't have as much. This is, annexation agreements are what Peter Griggs does, in addition to other things within annexation, but we specifically asked him for an annexation agreement experience.
I don't remember all that, but I'm not saying it couldn't be, but I thought it was because he was more forceful in the interview and
no,
some more other things.
No, he gave us examples of the 5, 6, 7, 8 different annexation agreements that he was working on or had worked on with other townships in the area, a lot of them in Columbus, but also in northwestern Ohio. And I'm sure Albers has done it too. It didn't seem to me at the time that he had done as many. But yeah, I would like to interview him.
Okay, so we need to set up a time then to interview, or else
I'm
use
fine.
Workshop or session time to do that.
I'm fine with whatever you can come up with, as quick as you can come up with it. She's the one that's going to be on for a week. So.
But you'll be at the workshop.
I will not. I'm gone tomorrow until next Thursday.
Oh. You're not going to be at the workshop.
Well, it's the fifth Tuesday, so I made my vacation plans probably 3 months ago.
Okay.
If you guys want to interview him and you both agree, it doesn't really matter what I say. It's too, you know. So if you two feel comfortable and confident that you know this person and you both talk to him, then that's fine.
I don't have a problem with him. So if you want to put him on. And
so have you talked to him?
No, but he's on my list.
Okay,
so.
But I feel like somebody else should talk to him. Like, you, if, you know, we're gonna entrust our future to a person, and I feel like you guys should both sit down with him. If it has to be done within the next week, if it can wait, I would be happy to participate. But if we are entrusting the future of Bethel Township with talking about a merger or expending probably substantial sums of money, I prefer it's not just a recommendation that we're going on. I think that that's only wise.
So what if we did it on the 5th in front of the zoning interviews? Those are starting at 6?
6. So you'd have it at 5 instead? If you said
well,
it
no,
in front,
maybe
or are you going to have it after?
Well, no, because it's going to be later then.
So you'd have
so
to...
So end of their day.
End of
like
day, yeah,
4,
okay. Well, it'd take an hour for him to get up here, so at least.
Well, we interviewed by...
oh, by Zoom?
Yeah,
you're going to do Zoom? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's fine for me.
It'll work.
Okay.
We'll already be here anyway, so you just have to
and
make
we,
sure.
So we still have time to notice that as well, because
yeah.
that's already a special meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we can
just
notice
add
that.
It to it.
Yeah. I sent that already, so I'll just have to send it again, but we can do that. We have time. Okay. So February 5th. Attorney interviews. So do you want to provide the names?
Yeah, I'll send you an email with them.
Okay.
And it's not a big deal. It doesn't bother me.
Okay, and how much time do you think we need for each one?
I don't know, maybe.
We're doing 20 minutes for the zoning. Is that enough, or?
You just have to have a list of questions you have to answer, you know, ask them all the same. So probably 20 minutes each, if you'd like to do that.
Say 20 to 25.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the other, they may not want to get involved. You know, that's the other thing you might run into is that they have a conflict of interest with maybe
right.
they're doing business with them.
That's possible.
I think one of the ones my attorney wasn't sure, but he thought he had done some work for the city of Huber Heights, so. I meant to ask that question when I called.
Okay, so do we have any more discussion tonight? I would like to talk about the TIF, but we need to go into executive session for that.
Wait. When are we writing the letter to oppose this?
You have 25 days.
Absolutely, yeah. No, mm-hmm. We have 20 days, I think. 20 days. Maybe it is 25, yeah, so we have to have it before February 9th.
Okay, so we can have it at the regular meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are we going to have it ready to vote on there, or?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys are going to discuss it next week on the 30th?
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, I'm going to base it on the last one, unless you want to
do
something
different.
I've looked
at the last one, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, you'll get it in advance if you see anything
mm-hmm.
that you want to change. Okay, so no action. Are we done then with other discussion?
Can I make another comment by chance?
I'm sorry?
Can I make another comment by chance? Or
sure.
Ask that?
Sure. Why not?
Just a couple of things. As you were pointing out that you might be looking at a consulting group about the merger to find out the timelines on those, because it, in my view, is possible. Like, say, you call up New Carlisle,
yep.
just like you write, say, a letter to the Miami County Commissioners, they had to accept it, and it's on their docket then. If it can be just something to the nature of we send a letter to New Carlisle and say we're interested, we're communicating, and maybe there's a timeline every year. And then at the end of the year, we're going, you know, maybe things aren't going so good. Now we call Tip City up, or we don't call Tip City up. We send them the same type of document
mm-hmm.
just so we can converse with them. And if it doesn't work out, then we call Vandalia, or
that's
send that document to Vandalia. And just keep round. Next 3 years later, you send it to New Carlisle again. If it's something just like the Miami County, people had to accept it just because it was sent from the rights. And just keep it rolling for the next 100 years.
That's
and once you get it established, it would just be a repetitive thing and they're gonna get tired of it. I'm not saying that can happen, but you need to talk to
I don't know. That was my point, and so you picked up on it.
Sorry to
I think there's some voting in
but
there.
But there's some voting in there
that
has to happen,
yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so.
Yeah, that's by a consulting firm,
right.
I think, would be
yeah. mm-hmm.
answering. You've got many directions to go here, and that's just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, so we're at the executive session part then? So we need a motion to enter into executive session.
Let me read it first. Oh, you gotta read it? Whatever.
Excuse
Sorry.
Me, what's this resolution, 24-1-23?
That was just a placeholder.
Okay. Thank you.
Just in case we ended up having a resolution, you could fill in the topic there and the way the vote went. But we have no action items.
Thank you.
Okay, so the motion to enter into executive session. Do you want me to read this, Rhonda, or you want to read it?
I can read it if you want me to. Do
Go
I
for
gotta
it.
Read the whole paragraph underneath it too? Or just
yes. Yes.
All of it?
Thanks for coming.
Thank
yes.
you.
Okay. Motion to enter into executive session. Pursuant to Ohio Revised Code Section 121.22G1 for the purpose of considering the compensation of a public employee or official. Pursuant to Ohio Revised Code Section 121.22G8 for the purpose of considering confidential information related to the marketing plan, specific business strategy, and trade secrets of an applicant for economic development, assistance that is to be provided or administered pursuant to ORC Sections 5709.73 to 5709.75, inclusive. The executive session is necessary to protect the interests of the applicant or the possible investment or expenditure of public funds to be made in connection with the proposed economic development protection. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Call the vote, please.
Sure. Trustee Van Haren.
Yes.
I should have done that in a different order.
Okay.
Trustee Dick.
Yes.
Trustee Reese.
Yes. Time into executive session is 8:12.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you again. Just
thank you.
And attending.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you, dignitaries.
Thank you.
Okay, we gotta stop the recording? Okay.